topic shining in value. And it may not make complete sense at this point, but it will, shining in value. But I wanted to start out with an interesting picture of something and see if you can identify. Can anybody identify what this is? It's a picture of what? I'm going to ask the college students right here if they can identify what this is. Can anybody identify what this is? When I asked the teachers said things like, it's colored paper. Or it's somebody's trying different colors on their door, just swatches of color on their door to see which color they like. One of the teachers said, well, if I were a mom and I were given this, I would say, this is very, very beautiful, my dear. What's interesting is to most of us, this would have nearly zero value. Especially if we thought it was somebody trying to do swatches on a door. Interesting enough, this recently sold, this is a piece of art, and it recently sold for $87 million. Obviously, this is a very high value to the Russian billionaire that purchased it. It says, after the Sotheby's site, it says, we have this brilliant piece by Mark Rothko, a Russian-American abstract expressionist who completed the painting in 1951. This work is a beautiful examination of colors done in an almost pastel style, giving the entire piece a warmth and emotional expression that is a delight to see. And that's worth $87 million. What is your value today? Well, here's a better question. When you woke up this morning, how valuable did you feel? When you're alone, how valuable do you feel you are? Well, I prayed today, check. Study my Bible, check. Wow, I really struggled with lust. Ooh. Man, I really got angry at my coworker today. See, we value ourselves, and our value tends to change according to our emotions, according to what we're doing or not doing, our struggles or non-struggles. But typically, we don't think very highly of ourselves. I think our value in our own eyes is generally not that great. And we struggle. Now, intellectually, we'll know something different, but I'm talking about what's in your heart. You know, Adam, if you look at Adam, he had a struggle. Now, I'm not saying before the incident. There was no struggle before the incident in his value in his eyes. I mean, God said, let us create man in our image. And so Adam knew he was created in God's image, felt great about it. I think Adam and Eve both felt very valuable to God. They were walking with God in the garden. Everything was cool. Who knows how long that went on before the incident. It could have been decades. It could have been centuries. We're not even sure how long that went on. But they had a great relationship with God. I think when they looked at their own value, their identity was completely wrapped up in God. And so with God said that I created you in my own image, and so they related their value to God's image. Well, how valuable is God? Well, how can you put a value on God? And so Adam actually associated his own value with God's value. And because God is beyond value, Adam felt that he was also beyond value. And so that's why they walked with God so securely in the garden. That's why they had such a close relationship. Even though they were naked, they knew nothing about it. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered in life other than just being with God. They tended the garden. They had a great time. Of course, what happened was the incident. What happened after the incident to their value? Well, in their own eyes, how did they see themselves? Well, look over in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and verse 9, the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid. So this answers the question, how did Adam see his value at this point? Well, not good. His value had plummeted. He said things like, I heard you, I hid, I was naked. He didn't see his value anymore. His value had been God. Now his value is all tied up in a separation from God. He's actually hiding from God. Had God done anything to make him hide? Had God lost his temper with Adam? What had happened here? No, Adam's own value dropped because Adam suddenly realized that he had rebelled, that he had done what he shouldn't do. And so his value just plummeted because he no longer could walk with God in that same way. He no longer had that security of just being one with God and one with the Lord and just walking like that. And so God clothed him. How valuable was Adam in God's eyes at that point? Extremely valuable. God had mercy on him and clothed him. You're naked. Let me sacrifice an animal and kill an animal to provide you with clothing. Adam's value in God's eyes didn't diminish at all. Adam's own value had, but in God's eyes, Adam was just as valuable as he had always been. Abraham struggled with value. You know, when Abraham was called by God to leave his country and go to the promised land, and he was pumped. Abraham was like, wow, the creator of the universe is calling me. Who am I? The creator of the universe is calling me to leave my country and my family and be led by the creator of the universe to this new place, this promised land. And wow, I'm valuable. And God also said, I'm going to make your descendants. I'm going to build nations out of you. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Look up in the sky. Can you count them? Adam's like, no. Abraham's like, no, I can't count them. God's going to say, that's your descendants. And to a person 4,000 years ago, that was a big deal. Your legacy was your family and what you produced. And he was going to produce a nation. He felt really valuable. He's like, wow. This is what you see in me? You see me as someone that can build a nation for you? Wow. And he felt so important. He felt like Adam walking with God, wandering with God, leading. You know, God led him. He was living in tents. He didn't care. And he just had that walk with God. But he struggled. He lied about his wife Sarah. When they went to Egypt, he was so afraid that the Egyptians would kill Abraham to marry Sarah. He lied to the Pharaoh, saying, oh, this is my sister. Now, it was found out. But what happened to Abraham's value in his own eyes? Through this lie, because he lied, he obviously didn't see his value very high. What happened to that value of walking to God and being led by God into this land? Suddenly, he didn't see himself very valuable anymore. And he lied. And of course, once you lie, then you really don't see yourself very valuable anymore. And so his value plummeted again. God was always working with Abraham, however. God took Abraham and made him into a great family. 70 members of his family. At one point, however, his family was starving. They were in Israel and in the promised land, and there was a famine. And so they went to Egypt to get grain, and Joseph was there. And so they went there, and boy, were they feeling valuable at that point. They didn't feel very valuable through the famine, but when they went to Egypt and found out that these guys' brother and Israel's son was the head of Egypt, and Joseph said, hey, come to Egypt, I'm going to give you the best of the land. Pharaoh said, yeah, give them the best of the land. They were feeling really powerful. They're like, wow, this is awesome. They were feeling that their value is very high in the Lord's eyes. The Lord must really love us because he's providing for us, not just food, but he's providing wealth for us. He's given us the best of Egypt. And so they were feeling great about their value. But what happened? What happened? Why were they in Israel? Why were they in Egypt? What were they doing in Egypt? Do you remember what the Israelites were doing in Egypt? What were they doing in Egypt? I'm going to ask the campus students. What were they doing in Egypt? Yeah, everybody's afraid to answer. They were making bricks. We've forgotten. Everybody's like, is this a trick question? They were making bricks. What were they? Free or slave? They were slaves. They were slaves and they were making bricks. If you're a slave and you're making bricks, what's your value? How do you value yourself? You're a slave making bricks. You're not very valuable. What were they doing in Egypt? Why were they in Egypt? They were trying to get food. That's why they originally went. They were trying to get food. Did they get the food? They got the food, right? In fact, they got more than food, right? They got wealth. I mean, Pharaoh gave them the best of everything. So, what were they doing in Egypt? Well, they were making bricks. What happened? They were slaves. What happened? They had wealth. What happened? You know, Abraham was told, your descendants will be mistreated for over 400 years in a foreign nation. But after 400 years of slavery, I'm going to bring them out. You know, they knew this. They knew that there was a prophecy about them that they'd be in a foreign country and they'd be treated miserably. You know, if they were smart, after they had the wealth of Egypt and they had the food and they had everything and the famine was over, because the famine did end, by the way, what should they have done? They should have gone back to the promised land. But instead, they just stayed in Egypt because their value had become the Egyptian value of wealth and prosperity. And what happened to all of that? God took care of that. You think your value is in wealth and prosperity? Well, let me just show you something. And they became detestable in the Egyptians' eyes, and the Egyptians made them slaves. Wow. 400 years of abuse just to learn a lesson about your value. That's pretty intense. How did God feel about that? How did God feel about the fact that His own people's value was tied up in brickmaking? That's what they were doing. 7 days a week, 24/7, 365, making bricks, making bricks, making bricks. When He told Abraham that they were going to have everything, and now they had nothing. They were making bricks. Well, how did God feel about that? Well, He wasn't really happy about that. He said, that's not the plan. Breaking bricks is not the plan. So what did God choose to do? He chose who to help. He chose Moses. Was Moses a slave? No. Moses' value was never tied up in brick making. But did Moses struggle with his value, his identity? Yes, he did. He struggled. Because when the Creator of the universe calls you, your value suddenly changes to be, wow, the Creator of the universe is calling me. I must be really valuable. But then suddenly reality set in when God said, I want you to go preach to Pharaoh. And he's like, I'm not the guy. I'm not that guy. I can't preach. I can't open my mouth. I can't do that. What did God say? I made you. What do you mean? You're telling me you can't do something? I created you. He had compassion on him, didn't he? He said, okay, go take Aaron. Aaron was a slave, by the way. Moses had grown up in Pharaoh's household. Who do you think's the better speaker here? Moses. Not a slave, Aaron, but Moses. But anyway, God worked with him on that. I mean, Moses struggled with his identity. He struggled with his value. You know, he led all of the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea. So things were looking good, right? Through the plague, Moses is like, we have no value. And then suddenly, God leads them out of Egypt. And they had plundered the Egyptians. You remember that? They took out a lot of gold, silver, animal, everything. And so they were feeling good about their value. Wow, God loves us. Our value is really high because we're leaving Egypt with all this stuff. And then what happened? They got to the Red Sea, and what happened to their value? The Egyptian army's coming against them, and they're like, Are we nobody? We're going to die. Our value. And they just suddenly sank. They were discouraged. They didn't see themselves as worth anything. And then what did Moses do? He raised the staff, parted the waters. They went through to the other side. They saw the Egyptian army all die under the waters. And they felt what? They felt valuable. Wow, we are valuable. Look at what God did. And then what happened when they ran out of water? Didn't feel valuable. Are you going to make us starve here? Are you going to make us die of thirst? I mean, it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So God decided to give them some commandments. Remember the Ten Commandments? What are these Ten Commandments for? It's all about value. Let's look at this. Let's look at the first three commandments here. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. What's that about, their value? That's about how valuable God is. No other god has any value whatsoever. No Egyptian god has any value whatsoever. So you shall have no other gods before me, because any god has zero value. I am total value. This is about God's value. You shall not make yourself an idol. It's all about God's value. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because God is total value. You'll remember the Sabbath day. We'll get to that. All the rest from four on are all about our value. The first three are about God's value. All the rest are about our value. You shall not murder, because you are valuable and so is your neighbor, just as valuable. You should not commit adultery, because you are valuable and your neighbor is valuable. You should not steal, because you are valuable. You lack nothing. Why would you think of such a thing? Because you are valuable. When you lack value, you steal. When you have value, you don't. You shall not give false testimony, because you are valuable. Why would you want to do that and demean somebody of value and demean yourself by giving false testimony, because then you don't feel valuable anymore? Because you're having to give a false testimony? That just shows that you don't value yourself, because you would give false testimony. You shall not covet. Why would you covet when you're valuable? Because when you're valuable, you don't need anything. When you're valuable, you have everything you need. You don't need anything else. Those are the Ten Commandments. I want to look, though, at number four. Number four is rather profound. Commandment number four. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals. This is how valuable the Sabbath is to us, that we need complete rest, nor any foreigner residing in your town. You know, it's amazing. The Israelites had 430 years of brainwashing about their value. 430 years being told, you are only valuable for how many bricks you can make. If they couldn't make bricks, they had no value to the Egyptians. When your skills of making bricks was gone, you were taken out. You were eliminated. Why? Because they didn't want you to eat the food. They didn't want you to eat any food because you had zero value. Your only value was making bricks. So if you couldn't make bricks, you were gone. And you know, after 420 years of brainwashing, it changes your DNA. Suddenly you see yourself as having no value whatsoever except in making bricks. You're told by society, you're told by the powers to be, that you have no value except making bricks. You tend to believe it, and you just start believing that my value is all tied up in brick making. If I can't make bricks, I have no value. And so it got into their DNA. And so God had to command them to rest. How often did they get to rest before this? Never. As a slave, how often did you rest? Never. You worked 7 days a week from sun up to sundown. That's ranch work, too. They were slaves. They had no value. And God said, no, I want you to rest. You are so valuable to me that I'm going to redeem you out of Egypt. You are so valuable to me that other people are going to die to set you free. You are so valuable to me that I'm going to free you from slavery and show you how valuable you are to me by commanding you to rest. Did they struggle with it? Got to make bricks. No, you're out of that. But I got to make bricks. It was in their DNA. But I got to work. But I got to gather. You know, God said, don't gather on the Sabbath. What did they do? I got to gather. What happened to those guys? Well, God has to command us to rest. He has to command us to take a break because we're so valuable. Wow. God wanted them to know that they were valuable not for what they could do, but for who they were. This message of rest is so important to God that it is not a suggestion. And the Sabbath begins when? It begins at sundown. So the Sabbath begins with rest, right? The Sabbath begins Friday evening with rest. So each day was a reminder of rest. I want you to start your day not with work. I want you to start your day with a reminder of how valuable you are to me about rest. And to a Christian, we know what the Sabbath day rest is, right? It's heaven, where we get our final Sabbath day rest, which will be forever. We get to rest with the Lord forever. Well, personally, I've struggled with this message. When I started, it's so hard for me to talk about this. When I started preparing for this, I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong with me. And I didn't want to do this message. And I shared it with the guys in the Adirondacks, and I didn't want to share it with the guys in the Adirondacks because I knew something was wrong. And I did get to share it, and I'll share it with you. I think we're a value-based society, and I think we get our value from brickmaking. We get our value from what we can do. We see our value in ourselves by what we can do. We see value in others by what they can do for us, by how many bricks we can make, by how many bricks they can make. And it's a struggle. I'll just speak to the men. As a man, men are always struggling with, am I man enough? Am I good enough? What does my dad think? What do other men think about me? And we get our value from this, about what others think about us or how much we can produce. What does God think about our value? Look at Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3. It says, Moses went up to God. The Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. And how I, and this is talking about value, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if indeed you obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Not a kingdom with priests, but a kingdom of priests. That God was telling them, you are so valuable. You are the opposite of slaves to me. You are the opposite of brickmakers to me. You're actually priests to me. You're not a nation with priests. You're a nation of priests. You have priests. That's how valuable you are. You're a treasured possession. And they could say, but for 400 years, we were suffering in slavery. How valuable were we to you? And he could have said, well, why didn't you go back to the promised land? Let me show you how valuable you are. I'm going to rescue out Egypt with great power. I'm going to part the Red Sea. I'm going to take you out with great possessions. And I'm going to command you to take a break. I'm going to command you to rest because you are my treasured possessions. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more numerous than other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but it's because the Lord loves you." Did they deserve God's love? How many bricks were they making? God said it has nothing to do with brick making. It has nothing to do with what you can do or can't do, or how good you are or how bad you are, or how much value you think you have in your own eyes. It's all about me. I simply chose you. And if I chose you, you are valuable. God chose Abraham. Abraham said, "The creator of the universe would choose me." He felt valuable. God chose you. "The creator of the universe would choose me?" Yes, he did. Are you more valuable than bricks? I mean, Satan messes with my mind. Satan messes with my mind. A year ago, A year ago, I was in such a different position. A year ago, I sat down with Sam and Larry, and they said, "What can you do?" And I said, "I don't know. I know I can pray. I know I can read my Bible. But I don't think I can do anything else." So I went on disability. And it wasn't just my foot. I had had an emotional crisis. And I could not see any value. And what I was doing. And I did not believe it would ever change for the rest of my life. And I struggled. And I thought, well, I know I can be a greeter at Walmart. Because I know I can say hello to people. But I couldn't teach. I couldn't preach. I couldn't reason well. I couldn't comprehend well. And so my value was completely tied up in brick making. And it was so difficult. And that went on for months and months. And it really isn't until recently, and that's why this message is so hard for me, not to deliver, but to think about, to study out, and to face the reality that my value is not in brick making, my value is in God. That I am valuable to God regardless of what I do, can do, have done, will do, has nothing to do with brick making. And that is extremely humbling. Extremely humbling, but it's extremely life transforming. I think I'm happier than I've ever been in my entire life. Because as I look back, I see that my value in my entire life has been tied up in brick making. I'm called a workaholic. I don't see it, but others do. And I think it's because my value has always been tied up in what I could do. And God has been teaching me a lesson. It's taken almost 2 years now of your value is not in what you can do, how good you are, how bad you are, anything. It's all because I chose you. It's not because you were so numerous, because you were the fewest of all peoples. It's simply because I loved you. It's simply because I chose you. So I have been going through quite a time, and I don't think it's over. But I am so grateful for this lesson. I can say it honestly. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, other than marrying Teresa and being saved by God, to learn that my value is completely tied up in Jesus, completely tied up in God. What is your value tied up in? I know intellectually that you can say that you are valuable, but do you feel it in your heart? Do you know it in your spirit? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to finish with this verse. Because the name of the message is shining in value. And of course, we now know that you're not going to shine in the value that you have in your talents. That's not what it's about. We now know that you're not going to shine because you're a good guy or because you sin less. Your value is not tied up in what other people think about you, how important you are at your job, or how good of a student you are. Your value is not going to be tied up in your emotions of how you feel about yourself, because they will lead you astray as they led Adam astray and Abraham astray and Moses astray. We now know that your value is only in one thing. It's only in God. It's only in Jesus. It says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore, all died. And here's the thing. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. God traded Jesus for you. How valuable are you that God would trade Jesus for you? God is no fool. God does not make bad bargains. You are, by the simple fact that Jesus died on a cross for you, you are as valuable or more valuable than what was traded. And because we're not more valuable than Jesus, except possibly when God turned His back on Jesus, that makes you as valuable as Jesus Himself. Your value is tied up in only one thing, of how much you see how loved you are, how much you understand how God loves you, how much He wants to call you. And when you understand that, you feel compelled. When you understand how much God loves you, when you understand how valuable you are to God, you feel very, very motivated. You feel very, very grateful. I've never been happier. How can that be? How can it be that I've never been happier? I'm like, wow, is this going to end? But it's because I feel so valuable. It's not because of anything I've done. It's just because. I'm a sinner. I blow it. I'm selfish. I'm lustful. And yet, God still traded Jesus for me. So often we use the scriptures of the pearl of great price and the hidden treasure for people that are studying the Bible, and we sit down and say, look at this scripture. A man was going out and he stumbled upon a hidden treasure, and he saw this hidden treasure, and he went and sold everything he had and bought that field so he could get the treasure. And then a merchant was going out looking for fine pearls, and when he found a pearl of great price, he went and sold everything he had and bought that pearl. And we sit down with people we're studying the Bible with and say, look at how valuable the kingdom of God is. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. I'm not saying that the Scripture doesn't teach that, because absolutely it probably does. But you know what I figured out? It's not about that. It's about how valuable you are. It's about how valuable I am. We're so valuable that Jesus Christ Himself would sell everything He had to buy us back. That God would look down on us and see how valuable we were, that we were the pearl of great price, we're such a treasure, that Jesus would be willing to sell everything He had to buy us back. That's motivating. That is motivating. I feel so motivated to serve God. I feel so motivated to serve Jesus. I feel so motivated to share my faith. I feel so motivated to sit down and study the Bible with people. I feel so motivated to just tell people about how great God is. It's like, do you know how valuable you are? It's amazing. This is a life changer for me. This is a life changer. And I'm thinking, it couldn't just be for me. It's got to be for all of us. This has got to be a life changer for all of us. That if you're sitting there thinking, I'm not valuable, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I've blown it here, and I've blown it there, we need a little time with Jesus. How valuable are you? And Jesus is saying, I know you've blown it here, and I know you've blown it there, and you're not all that, and you're not all that, and you're not all that, and you're tied up in brick making. But I want you to know how valuable you are to me. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to sacrifice my life for you. I'm going to trade my life for your life, because you're worth it. You're more valuable even than my freedom. That's a life changer. Only the dullest of people can turn their back on that. Only the hardest of hearts can look at that level of love and say it doesn't matter to me, or I'm beyond that, or I can't do that. We would never do that with our child. And yet we dare do it with Jesus. Today, let's make a decision to have a life-changing moment about our value and how valuable we are to God. How valuable we are to Jesus, because our value is Jesus. Our value is Jesus. And when we know the truth of those words, and when we know our true worth to God, our authentic worth to God, we will shine. We will shine. Amen.